This program that you're about to listen to is a production of Good News Community Radio Station. The program called At Ease is made possible by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and this is our 63rd program. You are about to listen to our devotion by Chaplain Ben Smith. You're going to listen also to the South African Navy Band, as they're going to play for us The Day Thou Cravest. Then Graham Wilson will narrate it for us out of the Military Challenge newspaper, a testimony from Dan Smith, and the theme of that testimony will be Past Haunted My Future. Then Captain Peter Lawrence will share with us two very vital questions concerning personal evangelism. The South African Military Christian Fellowship news will be next after that by Riranzo Mangani. Then we will play out with the South African Navy Band called Shine, Jesus, Shine. May God bless you as you be at ease and listen to this program.
Once again, an absolute warm welcome from me to everyone who has joined us on the program called Stand at Ease. I'm also aware that after C comes the letter D, but for a minute, let us remain with the letter C, which can also stand for courage or courageous. Our scripture reading for this occasion is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, that says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in faith, be courageous, be strong." And the theme for this occasion is AWOL. By way of introduction, allow me to say, standing on guard and standing firm is synonymous with soldiers. One of the greatest feats of being a soldier is to be present in time of need, to answer affirmative when the role is being called. AWOL, whether you are in the military or not, is regarded as a serious offense, since the protector and defender is absent when really needed. Our society is marked by the scourge that when really needed, significant people in our lives are absent. I want us to consider the following. It is a challenging task to be on guard and to stand firm. To protect diligently requires constant effort, endurance, and persistence. It is in Galatians 6 verse 9 that we read, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a reward if we do not give up." Constant effort, endurance, and persistence. That which is contra these attributes are threats against standing firm. The imperative to stand strong implies to resist, as the enemy is already actively engaging to overthrow. Soldiers are comforted by the fact that through resistance, by standing firm, the guarantee is there that the enemy will flee. Allow me to conclude. To stand firm does not only apply to the physical dimension, but one stands firm with your whole being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. You stand firm as you yourself are clothed with the armor of God, from top to bottom. Please consider this also. Being physically present, but AWOL on the other mentioned levels is akin to not being there at all, to the detriment of all. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you are our present help in time of need. We believe and are confident that you never sleep nor slumber. You are totally reliable and faithful and are never absent in any way. Thank you that we realize we are called to be on our guard, that we need to stand firm, and that we can be courageous and strong because God says so. Jesus, thank you for the example to persevere until the very end, even until death. Help us to be on guard and to always stand strong. In your name, amen.
We want to say thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith, for the devotional alphabet, and concentrate today again on the letter C, to be courageous or courage. Yeah, I think that it is quite a virtue to be courage or courageous, something, you know, to that God built in someone's character. And it takes also time for our characters to develop to be a man or a woman of courage, because the easiest thing to do is to AWOL, to be absent without leave. And I think that is one of the greatest lessons that you will learn, especially in the military, not to be AWOL, not to be absent without leave, or even to be absent-minded. You know, you can be in the house and still you are absent. You are there as in your body, but your mind, your thoughts are totally somewhere else. If I think of how many people grow up without, you know, fathers, a fatherless home, although many of them are there present in the body, but in spirit, in mind, they are totally somewhere else. I think that was one of the greatest lessons I've learned in my life. To be faithful, to be, you know, on guard, to be there where you've been needed, and especially if you give your word that you will be there on time. And it also builds character. It also shows someone there's some good qualities there of man of courage, courageous, in spite of thy, you know, adversary in and so many challenges that one face. I want to say thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith. We're going to listen now to the South African Navy Band, as they're going to play for us The Day Thou Cravest. God bless. Day Thou Cravest. Talk about the longing of God in His heart to be with His people, to live and dwell with inside of them. Thank you to the South African Navy Band. We're going to listen now to Graham Wilson as he's going to narrate for us the military and out of the military challenge newspaper, a testimony of Dan Smith. And the theme of this testimony is Past Haunted My Future. Let's listen to Graham Wilson.
The following testimony is taken from the military edition of the Challenge newspaper. Past haunted my future. Suicide? Why would I, Dan Smith, a young man with a beautiful wife and five daughters, want to kill myself? This was the question a psychologist asked me as I lay in the intensive care unit of the hospital recovering from a trying that very thing. Thanks to the quick thinking of my wife, Suzanne, I was alive. But that question would haunt me for the next few weeks as I was moved into protective custody at a mental facility to determine if I was still a danger to myself. Years of abuse, ranging from harsh punishment, verbal assaults, and sexual abuse, came crashing in on top of personal, financial, career, and moral failures of my own, leaving me feeling alone and unsupported by external family and so-called friends. And God, who I invited into my life at the age of 7, seemed painfully absent, and men representing Him and authority in my life drove every hint of Him being loving and trustworthy out of my life. I didn't trust men, and they represented who God was to me, so I didn't trust Him. That wasn't always the case. During the early part of my father's Navy service, when I was a teen, I met a man who I could trust. I got involved in my first church youth ministry and met a young pastor, youth pastor named Ken Mahan, who had become my first spiritual mentor and positive father figure. Ken became the first man I ever trusted, and I started to learn the Bible and understand that God truly loved me. It was some of the best years of my life, and I made many friends. I started to think that maybe God wasn't the problem. My newfound hope and outlook on my life were taken away when Dad retired from the Navy and moved us to a town smaller than the number of students in our previous high school. The place wasn't all bad, and I grew to love it. It was there, on a break from university, that I met my future wife, Suzanne. Suzanne became everything to me. I proposed to her, and we set a date to be married. It wasn't long after that when we let our guard down and realized that Suzanne was pregnant with our first child just before our wedding. We tried to do the right thing and go to family and friends and take responsibility for what had happened and hoped to receive our family's understanding and support. Instead, we were met with judgment and further embarrassment, sending me into a spiritual and life spiral. After that episode, I fell back into the old pattern of distrust, and I sank into self-pity and depression, running from God and shunning authority, bringing us back to an all-too-familiar situation. After being released from the mental facility, I began a long-term healing process, emotionally and spiritually, thanks to Suzanne's unfailing love. Suzanne, through all the pain and struggles, stayed faithful to me, even as she encouraged me through her own tears. It was God, shining through my wife's faithfulness, that finally broke my false perception of Him. We decided to read the Bible completely through for the first time together. My heart began to change as God's Word became alive, and I started to understand that God wasn't an angry ogre trying to destroy me. I saw in His Word God's unconditional love for the wayward Israelite nation and began to remember God's love for me. I surrendered my heart and my life to my loving Heavenly Father, and that decision began a journey of healing and growth. Eventually, God would lead Suzanne and me and our five daughters, Savannah, Shannon, Sheila, Susanna, and Samantha, to a wonderful Christian church where we presently serve. This particular fellowship of Christian believers has proven to be a special place of healing and renewed hope for us. God has blessed me with new friends, including godly men who know my story and stand beside me. Our church's pastor has shown me what a true pastor shepherd is. I've learned not to blame God for the actions of people, and I have a restored relationship with him. I also have received many blessings as I've been able to reach out to people with similar pasts and hurts and share with them how God has made a difference in my life through the love of my Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're wondering about this Jesus and struggling with life yourself, please don't blame God and ignore him because of pain others have inflicted. Don't miss out on the love freely given to you if you would simply accept Jesus as your personal Savior and receive the healing that he desperately wants to bring to your life. What a wonderfully encouraging thought to have, with the assurance of God's great love for you, personally in times of despair, depression, anxiety, disillusionment, and all that life sometimes throws at you. Dan Smith really had past baggage to deal with, but by the grace and mercy of God, he was able to finally allow God, the Holy Spirit, to heal him and restore him to spiritual health and fellowship with God.
I think you will agree with me about this testimony, that many of us can relate to that, that our past is many times haunting us, that our past is crippling us for the future. And many times we allow our past to, you know, to mess everything up in our present, and not just even talk about the future, because many times we are so bound up by our past. And there's a few things about our past that, you know, that we can't get rid of, and that is the lessons that we learn from that. And we need to learn from our past, because if we don't do that, we are bound to do exactly the same mistakes. If you think of history, if you look at history, you know, there's a saying that says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And when we look at the history and we say, if we can't learn from our mistake in the past, we are bound to do it again. And that negative part of our past, those things that haunted us, give us a skew, a total blurry concept or a view about God. And when we look at God through those glasses that were stained and crushed and shattered, we don't see a perfect God. We don't see a perfect Father. We don't see the goodness of God. Because we will start questioning him, start doubting if he ever exists and if he truly loves us because of our hurt of the past, that we are wounded so much that we can't believe that there is a God, and why didn't he come and intervene, and many things that we, you know, blame God for because of our past. And if I think of what Paul said to us in the word of Philippians, that we must forget about the past and stretch ourselves out to the future. But my question is always like this: how can I stretch out to the future if my past has crippled me, if my past was not dealt with? And here is the crux of it, the hub around everything, and this is, you have to deal with your past. You have to come to Christ with your past and start working those issues through biblically. I think many times that when there's conflict and there's irritation and all of these bad behavior or wrong behavior is because the way we deal with our past, the way we deal with our issues. And when we deal in a wrong way with our issues, we just spiral downwards and more downwards, and we get more depressed, and then we run to all kinds of chemical substances and so forth to try to find a way of escape instead of going to God. So I trust that this testimony of Dan Smith was really helpful for you to see how God helped him, how God has corrected that wrong world view of Dan, to have a right perspective on who God is, and his restoration that starts to transformation. Thank you, Graham. Friends, we're going to listen now to the captain, as he's going to share with us personal evangelism. May God bless you as you dot some of these pointers down and to make it your own. You know, it's not a sin to take what someone else has said and make it your own in your own words, and let it be ingrained into your heart and in your mind and in your thoughts, and be what God expects us to be. God bless you, and thank you, Captain Peter.
Today, listeners, it is my privilege to share with you one of many ways to share the precious gospel with others. Knowing this outline also reminds one of how you came to salvation and just what is the wonderful love of God that reached down to you, what you did and do believe. You are encouraged in your faith and walk with Almighty God, just sharing this gospel with others. So now you've developed a friendly relationship with the person that you're speaking to. They feel comfortable in your presence, and you feel now that you have permission to share the gospel. So you might now ask them about their church or your church. You get a good idea if they go to church or not, and you could share something about your church, maybe a testimony of your church, something wonderful that's happened, or how it was started. And then you might also share your personal assurance testimony at this time, short and to the point. But now, importantly, you may ask to share a question. May I ask you a question? So this is key. Obviously, they'll say yes or no, but mostly people will say yes, you having developed a friendly relationship with them. And if they say no, this what would the question have been will always burn deep in their hearts. And they may come back to you one day and say, what was that question you were going to ask me? But as I said, mostly they will say, yes, you may ask a question. So these are the two diagnostic questions then. The question one, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? So this challenges them. It's obviously either again, yes, no, I'm not sure. And so you're diagnosing their spiritual state and where they stand before Almighty God, what they believe in for eternal life. Would they go to heaven? This is also then very clear in 1 John 5:13 that you might say to them that it is written, I write these things to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. So you're clearly saying to them, one may know, you don't have to live life being not sure if you will receive the gift of eternal life. It's written in 1 John 5:13 then that you may certainly know for certain that you have eternal life. Now you must get permission to share the gospel. So you ask them, may I share with you how I came to know I have eternal life? So this is important that they have given you permission. And then you say, before I do then, if they've said yes, you may. Before I do, let me ask you another question. Suppose you were to die today and stand before God, and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? So now you're trying to understand, whatever the answer to the first question, you're trying to understand what they're believing in to receive eternal life. And this is important, like a doctor diagnosing an ailment, that you understand what they're believing in. Obviously, if they believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, and they've answered yes, then they are Christians. And you may just say to them, well, can I just share with you again the Gospels that encourage us both how we came to salvation? But clearly, if they give the wrong answer and they said no, then they're not sure they would go to heaven. And now you clearly can see that they are needing to hear the Gospel. You repeat and confirm their answers. They can't deny at the end that they gave a wrong answer. And they've repeated and confirmed what they said. So this is wonderful transition into the good news. And you'd be happy at this point to say to them, well, I have very good news for you that I'm going to share. And now you proceed into the gospel. And so this is a loving way to share with someone, whether it be just over 5 minutes or 30 minutes in an aircraft or just in a bus or a shopping mall, just when you have an opportunity, or maybe a neighbor and you've got more time. But you can always adapt this for the time that you have available. So also I thank Evangelism Explosion South Africa for this outline and the training I've received over the years. Next time, I shall share this outline with you, and it will be how to present the precious gospel to someone. I thank you.
Well, that was Captain Peter Lawrence with his personal evangelism. You know, not so long ago I said to our listeners out there that when you share your testimony and you share your some thoughts about your church and why you belong to that particular church, and your listener is bashing his church, or he's starting bashing other churches, you know, and tell you, but they are hypocrites and so, that you must not join into, you know, into that. Avoid that. Try as best as you can to avoid that, because it can turn around and come and haunt you later on. So doesn't matter really what he say about his church or someone else's church or the churches in general, and I'm talking about bad stuff, where you say the past is this and there are this and this happened and it is for him, maybe according to him, not right. Don't join the club. You can say you are sorry to hear that, you know, and maybe you can ask him as well, what do he think? What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of going to church? And see and show, you know, if you are skilled in that to show, you know, what the Bible say about the church and how necessary it is. So Captain Peter has shared with us, you know, these past weeks, so that we can really be a testimony, a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on a one-on-one basis. You know, you can go in the, you know, elevators, you can go wherever you are, in the military, in the armed forces, wherever, even if you go shopping, to wait for those opportunities that say, Lord, I'm going to town today, please give me an opportunity, let me see that opportunity, and let me seize that opportunity, and give me the right words to speak, even if you just to say hi, and you have maybe a track to you know, to sow and give it to that person. I want you to read this. Maybe it is the best news ever that you ever read in your life. So be open for that. Be open for the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life. We can't stress this enough, because it is the Spirit of God that gives life. And if we just go out of in the flesh, we will damage and we will, you know, bring a lot of damage and hurt. But if we come with Christ and led by the Spirit of God in this presentation of even of your own personal testimony, then it will give life where you testify about it. We want to say thank you. We're going to listen now to Riri, or as he's been known, Riranzo Mangani, with the South African Military Christian Fellowship News. God bless you.
Attention! Good evening, South Africa. Good evening, listeners of At Ease FM. Riranzo Mangani, your newsreader. We continue to pray for the peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine, as well as for peace and conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that the soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine tend to and find comfort and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven. We pray that they will have the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord. Despite the terrors and the hardship of the war, pray also for the civilians caught up in this terrible war. Please pray for the SMCF as we continue to make changes to our constitution and the operating principle in the line with the Word of God and His guidance. We met via Zoom on Saturday just past to pray and plan. We thank our Heavenly Father for a good, fruitful meeting. The Association of Military Christian Fellowship Prayer, AMCF Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we know the joy of being all in one in Christ Jesus, may be filled with your love and pass it to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit until His coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SANDF and the other South African troops presently deployed in northern Mozambique to conduct peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and air support as well as the medical staff all serving in different areas of the operation. Pray also for the Kenyan Army's peacekeeping deployed to the DRC. We thank God for our SANDF chaplains. Please join us praying for their ministry and the service in the SANDF. Please pray for the next edition of the SANCF's Military Challenge newspaper, which is presently being distributed to military units and bases throughout South Africa. Pray that the Christian soldiers will be encouraged in their faith, and many who do not believe and trust in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior of their lives will come to salvation while reading the testimonies in the Challenge newspapers. Should any listeners wish to receive a free copy of the Military Challenge papers in the post, please contact us with your mailing address. Planning for the AMCF World Conference to be held in São Paulo, Brazil in 2024 October is going well. The AMCF Pray and Plan support team guiding the Brazilian MCF next meets via Zoom on this Thursday, 17 November. We remember this much thanks the supreme sacrifice paid by many Allied soldiers during the World War for freedom from tyranny. These brave soldiers, airmen and sailors were remembered for their sacrifice and the service of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in Flanders Fields. John McCrae, 1872 to 1918. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravery singing. Fly scars head amid the guns below. We are dead. Short days ago, we lived. Felt dawn. Saw sunset glow. Laughed. And we laughed. And now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep. Through poppies grow in Flanders Field, we will remember them. Please consider how you listeners might become more involved in supporting the ministry of the SANCF in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be very much appreciated. I thank you. Remember, our contact details are 062-028-7546. I repeat, 062-028-7546. And our email address is smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. Our at-ease email address is at-ease@gncr.org.za. I repeat, at-ease@gncr.org.za. www.ministrysofatease.org.za. You can also contact us or message us within our messenger on our Facebook page at South African Military Christian Fellowship. I thank you. Have a good evening. God bless you.
Well, that was Riri Mangani, who read to us the news from the South African Military Christian Fellowship. I trust that you jot some pointers down for your prayer time with the Lord to upheld all these prayer points and issues before God, and that it was really helpful and beneficial for you. I think of Luke 18:1. You know, we can sometimes lose heart, we can get discouraged, and or disappointment step in, especially in our prayer lives, that we feel, it doesn't help, you know, it's not worth it. I tell you, prayer is really hard work. It's hard work, especially if you don't feel like praying, and you feel your heart is so cold that you don't want to pray. Just pray. Just start praying, even if you have to bite your tongue or, you know, bite something, put a pencil in your mouth and bite it in half. Pray. Because even when we start pray and we sense the coldness of our heart, remember, it will heat up. When you cry unto God and say, Lord, help me in my prayerlessness this morning or this evening, or I feel not to pray, please lead me by your Spirit. Lord, you know what's the problem, you know what is the issue, and so forth. You know, I want to it boils down to, I have many years a Ford Cortina XLE, a Big Six. It was circling in our close family for many years. And, you know, these old Fords that you get, you know, they struggle to start in the morning, especially in a winter's morning. Oh, you try tonight before you go to bed, we sometimes throw a blanket over the engine, you know. Especially here in South Africa and Pretoria and those places, Kimberley, and so, you know, these places get in the winter extreme cold. So then you struggle, and the battery is nearly flat, and sometimes you have to jump start that Ford. But once it starts and it is heated up, man alive, that thing, even if you switch it off, it starts immediately as you turn that key. Same with prayer. In the beginning, it might be cold, it feels dead. Just trust the Lord. Just hang in there. Call unto God, because you call to Him. And He's the one who say we must pray. He's the one who say His ears are on the prayers of the righteous. It is He who said through the mouth of David, O hearer of prayer, to you all flesh must come. So I trust this news and the prayer points was helpful. Folks, I just want to say thank you to all our content providers. May God bless you by providing to us week by week the content so faithfully, and may God really reward you. We're going to play out now with our last South African Navy band piece of music, Shine, Jesus, Shine. May He shine during this coming week and weekend that is in between now and next Tuesday. May God bless you, prepare your hearts as you serve Him, that you will be committed, loyal, dedicated, and faithful unto Him. And may God bless you until we meet again next week, the Lord's willing, the same time, the same place. Be at ease.